back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back, Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS, 393-3700, the number to call, 393-3700. Tom and I will give our picks on eight games, the final segment of the show. A reminder that you can listen live at 1320WILS.com, or you can go back and you can hear podcasts of any segments. If you missed the high school segments or you want to hear Jamie Morris, the former University of Michigan star running back, you can do that as well at 1320WILS.com. You can catch us on Facebook at Jack and Tom Show or at Twitter at Jack and Tom 1320. Want to go to some of the Facebook and Twitter responses. Tom, you want to start with the Twitter responses?
Well, we had from Alan, we're talking about the hockey win over BC in 07, the Notre Dame win, obviously, this past Saturday night. The Maryland game, Corey Lucia's shot was up there, as well as the Notre Dame victory in the Spear game when they threw the spear in the
Jason
middle.
Teague, yeah, with the run to beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, in 2005. Yeah. So those are the
things. I love how Tom calls it the Spear game. That's all he remembers.
Well, it's kind of like just like last night you were talking about earlier.
Right. Yeah, I would think that from a basketball standpoint, it's hard to remember a more dramatic shot than that Maryland game.
Oh, for what it led to.
NCAA
tournament. For what it opened the door to.
I mean they would have gone down as really a disappointment.
Absolutely.
From that standpoint, if they lost in the second round, and suddenly here they are. They're back playing in the Final Four for the sixth time in 12 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a good one from Allen.
We have a couple of Facebook responses, too, I thought were particularly interesting. And Gregory Whitlock points to as dramatic a play, maybe not a final play of the game, but as dramatic a play as Michigan State's ever had, because they were such a decided underdog against number one Ohio State in 1974. And when Jackson burst 88 yards up the middle and down the sideline, and
because that was, you know, I have to agree with him on that one. That, I forgot about that one. No, that was a great win. That Ohio State team was so outstanding. But it was interesting to see Ohio State get behind. Cornelius Green was the quarterback, trying to get back, you know, trying to score points when they had to. Archie Griffin was running crazy down that stretch. And then that controversial ending where I guess the offense wasn't set for a full second, which is required.
Right.
And Brian Bashnagel took this, rolled into the end zone. Ohio State thought they won.
Right.
Michigan State thought they won. And so they had, the refs had to go hang out in the Kellogg Center and figure out who won, you know.
The refs knew who won. They left the field thinking that it was very clear who won, but nobody else knew.
There was something,
you're right.
If I'm not mistaken, that took place at the Kellogg Center.
They went back to the Kellogg Center to take a shower and came out, turned on the television, and said, what in the world? Are they showing highlights? No, everyone's still in the stadium.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know. They said, everybody, we'll find out.
And this is before stadium security was the point that, particularly when the field wasn't dropped down. Remember Michigan State students could get on the field so easily, Jack? You remember how shallow the field was? You could just, it was open.
Just hop over the
wall. The students, I recall, went on the field and had a sit-in. Until they got a verdict.
I don't know what to call it, a sit-in, but they had thousands of people out on the field.
They went and sat down in the middle of the field.
A lot of them were standing up. I don't remember sitting down.
I do remember.
I was there that day, but I remember that that was one of the craziest scenes, and it wasn't until 45 minutes later that everybody understood exactly what happened. So that was definitely one of the crazy ones.
That's a good one.
Greg also said the Herb Haygood 68-yard reception on 4th and 10 to beat Notre Dame in 2001, and, of course, Jeff Smoker to T.J. Duckett. You remember that game?
Yeah, let's move on.
2001.
Got a caller on the line here.
I've got to go through a couple more of these. Jerry Pecora is going to be joining us in just a moment. Talked about that 74 game. Also talked about 1995, and that is the 28-25 game with Tony Banks to Nigea Carter at the end of that game that gave a win over the Wolverines. And then to open the 1968 game against Notre Dame, 21-17 upset of the number 4 Fighting Irish, and that was the onside kick that surprised a lot of people. Kenny Little.
Wasn't Kenny who
Gary Boyce.
Who recovered it?
I don't know.
I think it was Kenny Little.
Was it Kenny Little recovered the kick?
And Alan Brenner had a big deflection in that game to preserve the win. Let's go talk to Jerry on the Jack and Tom Show. How you doing, Jerry?
Hello, Jerry.
Good morning, Jack. Good morning, Tom. I picked that 68 game, not only because of the way it started, but because of the way it finished. goal line stands.
That's right. They had a couple of goal line stands, but the big one with Alan Brenner there.
Yeah.
On that rollout play, that was one of the best defensive jobs you'll find.
Yeah, and he was a two. He became a rare two at that time. Two-way guy. He was an outstanding wide receiver.
Yeah, that was the last. That was the last gasp, I think, for that the vestige of that 65 and 66 squad guys.
But Niles,
that,
Michigan.
That's one that isn't really readily remembered because it goes back a ways. But it was I got a twin brother that was a rabid Notre Dame fan. And I made the mistake of teasing him right after the game. He might still be chasing me with a baseball bat.
That game had the big remember Jay Breslin from East Lansing.
Yep.
He had a big time hit in that game. Was it their quarterback, Coley O'Brien?
No, it wasn't Coley. But it was Terry Hanratty.
Terry Hanratty in '68.
Yeah,
was a senior at that time.
Senior in '68.
He knocked him out.
Yeah, Hanratty to Jim Seymour.
Yeah, he had a big hit.
Those guys were sophomores.
Jay Breslin
was
a stud, man, for me.
But by the way, Tom, I want to congratulate you. You're always good for a couple of really curious pieces of terminology.
Okay, serve it up, Jer.
You use the word dastardly, Tom.
Dastardly.
Now, what are you, Oil Can Harry? Well, what is this?
I don't know where I got that from. It's got to be from some sitcom from the 60s.
You've been reading, I don't know, King Arthur's and his...
No, actually, you know what? Confession time. That's a Bob euphemism.
But the other one, Tom, is classic. Really, who other than Tom Crawford could use a term like three-ring circus and make it a positive?
Okay.
The Wolverine backfield. We've got a three-ring circus back here, folks.
Not usually considered to be a positive thing, but it is if you're in a circus business. Okay, right?
I want three running backs. That's the bottom line.
You know, I think the Michigan fight song, the prelude to it, sounds like three-wing circus music to me. It always sounds like circus.
Greatest college fight song ever written. You never hear Michigan State that thrown out by anybody. Michigan State's Spartan.
Because they don't hear it as often as a Michigan fight song.
Yeah, it's a very regional school. Is that the problem? That's what the league are.
Well, that's why Michigan should never lose, Tom, because it's supposed to be the leaders
Jerry
and best.
Jerry DiNardo called
school.
A Michigan State a regional football program this week.
It is. It's also a regional program that has two straight wins over Michigan. So you keep losing to regional teams, Tom. You got a problem.
Jerry DiNardo, though, I guess you could call him a regional broadcaster.
Well, he was a failure in his regional effort at Indiana. We know that much. Hey, Jared, thanks so much for the call.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Jerry.
It. I want to go back to.
Have a great weekend.
All right. I want to go back to one more of these responses. And this is from Chris Nelson talking about the game when Michigan State beat Ohio State in 1998.
Oh, yeah.
When Ronaldo Hill had the interception. Yeah. That was a great finish.
They used
as
that
well.
Momentum, and they lost to Purdue at home the following week. So they didn't take prosperity very well, did
they?
They
weren't a great team. No one ever said they were. But they did manage to beat the number one team in the nation. Michigan State's done that.
The fan that was crying, you know, remember that was all on the internet and everything?
Yes. Neutron Man.
Neutron Man, who passed away a few years ago. I remember that image from that game. That was a good win for the Spartans.
Took about an hour to get that guy out of the stadium. They had to carry him out. He had the Buckeye nuts around his neck, the ring of Buckeye nuts.
I'll never forget that JPEG that was fired around.
You know, we were on our way over to the stadium, and we just kept shaking our heads because they were all talking about going to Tempe. They were so sure they were going to win every game. Beating Michigan was no problem that year. Everything was a lock, who they were going to play in Tempe. They forgot they had a game that day, so... We will be back. We're going to talk with Drew Sharp, columnist for the Detroit Free Press. We're going to clear up a little issue from last week and get his take on the Big Ten and the Detroit Lions coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll also take your calls, 393-3700, and we'll have our picks coming back to close up the show. The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.